Hello, Richard.
I'm here.
You are here.
I made it.
You made it.
As if I haven't been sitting outside itching to come on for
yeah.
an hour and a half.
You did come in before with a whole bunch of bags, didn't you?
I did.
Shopping
yes.
bags.
I've gone full Mariah. Just getting our weekly Mariah reference in really quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what else is there to do on a day like today?
Weren't you saying before, though, that you were shopping up a storm and all you came back with was a packet of gum?
Okay, way to expose me to the entire Joy audience.
Oh,
the expose.
You're a shopaholic. I got to stop you.
I know. Bubble mint, spearmint, peppermint.
We've got so much to get through. We really do.
Ridiculous.
Got a little bit of a special guest. I think he might also be, I'm going to say, Sears' number one fan, and he also might just be the program director of Joy 94.9. Hello, Chris Tate.
I think the only definite in that sentence is that I am the program director. I'm not might. I definitely am the program director. I don't know whether I'm Sears' number one fan or not, though. I think because we could discuss that, but I'm certainly up there. I'm a Sears advocate.
I talk in tongues all the time, Chris. You should know that by now.
Yeah, I have heard things about you and your tongue.
So, Sears, I was saying earlier, we were saying the Sears, queen...
I can't even see her.
Oh, my goodness.
...of diarrhea. Now, I need to elaborate what this actually means.
So you need to elaborate, and then you look. Now I've got to elaborate on who's the queen of diarrhea.
Yes.
Well, Sia's the queen of diarrhea.
Yes.
Because that's what she blamed. She was late for a concert in, where did she play?
She was playing in Sydney over the weekend, and she had her plane, it was cancelled, she couldn't fly. So she had to drive for 13 hours, and she was kind of like live tweeting about it and all of that. She's like, sorry guys, I'm running late. She also said that she had got really bad diarrhea, mm-hmm. which is pretty bad. But a fan had tweeted, as most fans would, Queen of Diarrhea, to which Sia actually retweeted it, which
aww.
I actually think is really fun and great.
Sia has a great sense of humour. Like,
yeah.
if you know anything about Sia, if you've seen her interviews or listened to her, even though her songs are kind of always erring on the darker side of life and emotional well-being, she has an amazing sense of humour. She can have a laugh with the best of them,
I think,
at herself included.
I think that's what happens when you don't get really famous until you're in, like, your mid-30s. Like, you need to build up. Like, I know she was famous here, but, like,
yeah.
worldwide famous didn't happen for her until, like, she was 35 and now
yeah.
she's about 40. It's like, you have to have a sense of humour about yourself.
I think she was even older. I thought she had her first number one. Didn't she have one of her first number ones when she turned 40?
I think she...
Pretty
close.
Chandelier was a few years ago,
40.
Yeah. Anyway, so obviously Sia has been in Australia doing a stadium tour.
Mm.
She performed in Melbourne and Sydney. I saw her on Thursday night and there's been a bit of flack. People should... Well, I feel like people that were going to the show should know that Sia doesn't show her face. She's quite shy.
Doesn't interact
and all of that sort of stuff. But people were a little bit angry because they feel like she didn't really give enough.
Mm. And one of the things that I saw was, I think people had maybe... So people had YouTubed Sia and just gone, oh, she was heaps fun because they saw her concerts back in 2007, 2008 in the lead up to, what was the album?
We Are Born.
Yeah.
She did a tour, I think, with that. So she did tour and she did interact. She would interact with the audience. She would have a lot of fun. But when you look at those gigs, this is indie Sia. This is well before Chandelier. This is well before Diamonds. This is well before she appeared on Ellen. This is indie Sia and she would play smaller venues. I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, but she played the Enmore in Sydney. I don't know the equivalent to the Enmore
I saw
in,
at the Palais.
In Melbourne.
At the Palais. Melbourne, that same tour. Yeah.
So she's gone from these little intimate gigs to stadium gigs, but she hasn't necessarily changed her performance structure or style because that's not what she does.
Yeah.
Sia as an artist is a songwriter and she sings. And she sings flawlessly. She has immaculate vocals and that's what you go for. You go for the Sia experience.
Her voice was absolutely amazing. I was really close to the stage and everyone in the general admission was loving it. I do feel a little bit bad for the people in the stadium that would have been further back because they might have been missing something. But again, I think people should have probably done a little bit of their research and sort of known what they were getting into. I do, though, think maybe the venue wasn't quite suitable for a stadium. I think it was such a crowning moment for her to come back to Australia and do a stadium. I just think you go, girl, and it's amazing. And I also love that she didn't compromise the show. She didn't change it. But probably would have been a bit more better suited to an arena.
Yeah, might have been better at Rod Laver. I mean, yeah. I didn't go, but that's the feedback that I've been hearing from a lot of different people. And somebody else in the room didn't go either.
I didn't go. And I'm sure there are people there who are like, how can you call yourself a Sia fan when you're not even going to the show?
In that exact voice.
I didn't go to the show because I love Sia too much to go see her at a stadium.
No one forced her to go to... Like, are you trying to say that's like an artistic choice?
No, I'm not saying it was an artistic choice. I'm saying that that show, Sia and Sia's gig, Sia's bag, isn't suited to a stadium. Even bloody Sia should know that. Mm, so yeah. I have too much respect for her as an artist to say, okay, I'm going to pay however much it was to go see her in a stadium because I know Sia and I know her, like, her shtick. It's not going to fly in a stadium.
Yeah.
So I didn't go for that exact reason. But if I did go, I wouldn't have expected anything more than what she did, which was get up, sing immaculately, and...
Leave.
It
was like,
to the bathroom.
It was a lot like, maybe not
queen.
At that show. It was a lot like performance art, probably maybe not so great in a stadium, but I did love it. I thought it was great. The thing that I did miss was that interaction, that connection that you get from an artist with the audience. But again, it's Sia and that's her performance art. The best part though, I'm on a rant here, but the best part was that I remember saying to my friend who was there, oh God, I wish she'd say something. I wish she'd speak. And this gay guy just turned to me and goes, she's not saying a word. And then one song later, she did Titanium and she changed the lyrics to I Am Australian. And I tapped the guy on the shoulder and I was just like, oh, you said she wasn't going to say anything. And that was all she said for the whole show.
Yeah.
Hey, do you like Sia when she does Christmas songs? What do you think of Sia's new Christmas album, I should say, Chris?
What we've established here is that Chris has a lot of problems with Sia, despite being her number one fan.
I'm an advocate too. I have been trolling people who are on stage. And she didn't even take the wig off. She didn't do that. What do you expect? It's Sia. That's what you're going to get. I don't love the Christmas album, but I still love her with all of my heart.
There you go. Melbourne's number one Sia fan. Thank you, Chris Tay.
Thanks for having me on the show.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
To advocate for Sia.
Merry Christmas, Richard.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It's finally acceptable to say it.
We've got the snow machine happening in here. It's looking beautiful.
We've got Mariah singing in the distance. Yes. We're not paying attention to her. She's just over there singing the album.
Rihanna has, I think, done something pretty cool. She's called out brands that exploit trans people.
Yeah. She was sort of faced with some questions as to why there was no... Or it was more of a suggestion like, hey, next time you do a Fenty Beauty, her makeup line that's just come out, next time you do a Fenty Beauty, why don't you put a trans woman in with it?
Yeah.
And Rihanna said...
Well, she said she's had the greatest pleasure of working with many gifted trans women over the years, but that she doesn't go around doing trans castings. She said, just like I don't do straight non-trans women castings, I respect all women, whether they're trans or not. It's none of my business.
Yeah.
So I think she's sort of making also a statement here as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? She's making a statement about the normalization of trans women. Like, you don't want to... it shouldn't be like we're making a point of... It's like fake diversity is what she's speaking out against.
Yeah.
But then there's the argument to be made, are we at the point where we can say that we don't need to make an effort to include trans women? You know what I mean? Like, maybe we're not at that point yet. Maybe it is still time to make a specific statement. You know what I mean?
Does
that make sense?
I agree with you. Like, I think she's making a great comment, but I do also, you know, think visibility is very much key. And I do still think it's a great thing that trans people are being in all these, like, fashion campaigns and things.
Absolutely.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's groundbreaking. Times are changing.
Uh-huh.
So I think there's a positive and a negative to that. But, I mean, you know, you go, Rihanna. We love you.
The fact that she's even speaking on this topic...
Correct.
...is
100%.
Commendable. Yeah.
Trump.
Ugh.
Yeah. This is a bit of a weird story. I got a bit excited. I shouldn't get excited about this just because it was a good story, but because it's sort of talking about a bad thing.
Good story in terms of, like, it would be a big story.
Correct.
Yeah, not a good story, yeah.
So RuPaul, well, it's we'll just basically say it was. It's come out as a fake story.
Yeah.
But there's a story doing the rounds at the moment that RuPaul got kind of groped backstage at a party in the 90s by Trump.
Donald Trump.
And he, like, you know, went to fill up her skirt and all this stuff and sort of realised and got really angry and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, which we must state, again, is
didn't
not
happen.
True. It's not a
untrue.
True thing. It's fake news, which
it's
is kind of
fake
ironic.
News.
It's total fake news.
Yeah.
But it's sort of easy to... The funny thing is that it sounds like that the person who made it up did so because of all the sexual harassment stuff that's coming up. But this story and the fake article actually goes back quite a while.
Yeah.
So it's been around for a little bit. But,
yeah.
Still not real.
Everything, it almost feels, I was discussing this with a friend the other day about what's kind of going on with Trump, and it feels like my friend gave this analogy sort of like a domino thing where with all the FBI sort of things that are happening now, it's sort of like a domino effect where I think it's sort of starting to kind of fall.
Yeah.
Are you getting that sort of sense?
Absolutely.
I have had this really weird analogy where I feel like US politics, particularly the Trump administration, has become like a video game. So go with me on this.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't get a single light for this tweet that I mentioned. But anyway, I said that Trump is kind of like, well, I think Trump is kind of like the Bowser. You know Bowser from Mario?
Yes.
So, like, you've got to go through all these levels and then you've got to face all these smaller bosses.
He's
so Trump's aides are like his little kind of bosses.
Mm-hmm.
Trump's like the Bowser.
Yeah.
So we've got to go through, you're just like crickets right now.
No, I'm just like, I'm thinking about
you
it.
You know what
I'm
I mean? Like, we've got
yes.
to go through all these kind of, like, little men before we get to the big guy.
Yeah.
Feels like that's kind of what's happening right now.
Hopefully... It's come, like, hopefully we're reaching the final boss sooner rather than later.
It's scary though, because I saw someone talking about it over the weekend, and a lot of people want sort of him to be defeated, but it's also not a great moment for US politics, you
no,
know?
But I mean, at the moment he was elected, it was all weird. They yeah. were like, you were talking about going rock bottom before, like, from the moment he was elected, it's been rock bottom. So
yeah.
If he is pushed out, even if it's a huge mess, it can only be a good thing.
Yeah. Hey, I was talking about seeing Sia before. We're seeing someone pretty famous in maybe, what, 2 days' time? It's Monday.
We are. Gay icon.
Would they maybe have... Yeah, huge gay icon. Might have been in one of the biggest bands of, say, the whole century.
Yeah.
Century? Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Millennium.
Yeah. Millennium.
What's bigger than a millennium? Trilennium?
Why do I always talk in tongues?
I don't know. We're talking about Paul McCartney.
Macca. I'm so excited.
Me too.
Are
we're going to be in the same room as a Beatle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
I can't deal.
You know what though? Lord.
Lord.
She was in town recently.
She
had
was.
An amazing tour. Huge reviews. I really like her. As well.
Yeah, I like her a lot.
She's great.
I like her this era a bit more than I did last era.
So
actually.
There's a line, her new album called Melodrama, there's a line in the, I can't remember what song it is, where she says something about hanging
Isn't the song called The Louvre?
Yeah. Oh, there is a song called The Louvre.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
And a fan has basically taken the record and gone to the Louvre,
yep.
the famous museum, and basically taken photos of various paintings and so forth and held up Melodrama
yeah.
by Lord, which is kind of...
It's where it belongs.
Cool.
It's where it belongs.
Does it? Next to the Mona Lisa and all that?
Sure, why not? Mona Lisa's overrated.
It is one of the albums of the year, though.
Yeah, I think so. I wasn't like... At first I thought it was a little bit overpraised, but now I'm on board.
Got me to thinking though, like what other albums could you do that with?
I would take like something that everybody really hated at the time, but I really love. I'd do some sort of maybe like a Yoko Ono or something and
yeah,
take that
cool.
and put that
that's
up in
That's very
the,
artistic.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't it though? Exactly. Like you, that's the type of thing you want to see in a museum. Art.
I'd probably maybe, take Ralph Harris's Timing Kangaroo Down or something in at the Art Centre maybe.
That's like like provocative performance art.
Correct.
You want to stir up some controversy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take it down to where? The Art Centre?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hold it up, I don't know.
Not the National Gallery.
I've said too much. Be quiet, Ben. The Grammy Awards, we're going to go back to Tuesday from last week, but the yes. Grammy nominations were announced.
Yes.
Childish Gambino's Awaken, my love, Lord's Melodrama, Jay-Z's 444, Kendrick Lamar's Damn, and Bruno Mars's 24 Karat Magic have all been nominated.
The album of the year.
Yeah.
And apparently the first time since 1999 that no white males have been nominated.
Yeah.
Although I was thinking before, in 1999, Garbage was nominated, the band. And correct. They have, like, three of the members are white men. So it's really solo white guys.
Can I just be a gay man for a sec? You know, sure, I'm not allowed to do it very often. Yeah. But the people that were nominated in 99, because you make the great point about Garbage, which is true, but it was also Lauryn Hill. Queen. Some artist called Madonna. Never I don't know what happened to her. Sheryl Crow.
I feel bad even like laughing along with that joke. Sorry, Madonna, love you. Sorry.
And Shania Twain.
Yeah, that's a pretty good lineup.
That's a great lineup. What a great year for music. But this is, now we're going back. Sorry, just get out of the past, Ben, to the future. I think this is great.
I think it's pretty good as well. I mean, it's clear that the Grammys are trying to sort of pedal back from the criticism they've received in the last couple of years that it's just too white.
And, well, yeah, you know, because like last year, what was it? Beyonce didn't win for Lemonade.
Yeah,
and even though Adele's, that was great, but come on, Lemonade was it.
Yeah, and Adele already won. I mean, not that you can't win twice, but her albums are, I do love her, but her albums are quite similar. So once she won for 21, I don't think she needed to win again for 25.
And 1989 as well, like kind of pop album of the year, but people sort of argued, you know.
Was she up against Kendrick that year?
I think so.
And that was also criticised. So they're definitely trying to avoid that this year.
Yeah.
And good on them.
Yeah, good on them.